Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Hi, I'm retired NYPD Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired New York City Police Detective, I explain why coming into work dressed in your police uniform can lead to suspicion and a lot of questions. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Unsung heroes of the strip club. One got stabbed. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
So what crazy stuff happened in Florida this week? Just the regular lady had a bunch of drugs shoved up her, you know what. Some kids are getting cavalier with dairy, whatever that means. And there's a new invasive species that mocks Jesus. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Bud Light, Walmart. What could go wrong? Details later, people of Walmart. Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Up to their most recent foray into social justice, Bud Light, known for being the beer of regular guys. You go work as a job at a construction site, or you're a plumber, or whatever you do, and you're a regular sort of guy. Bud Light was the beer for you. Unfortunately, they did a little bit of marketing trying to bring in the tea people, which is wonderful, and they're brave and courageous folks. And the regular guys, not that happy about it. Topeka, Kansas. Regular guy goes into Walmart and decides to smash Bush Light beers instead of Bud Light. The fellow was a little confused, so he rolls into the Topeka Walmart and he starts angrily smashing Bush Light instead of Bud Light. Now, Anheuser-Busch does make Bud Light and Bush Light, but Bud Light is the one that sort of got out of the way. But apparently this fellow, it just didn't matter. What was the first Anheuser-Busch product available? Well, there we go. Smashed a Reno. It's gone viral because, yeah, someone pulled out their phone and videoed it. At least 42 million people have watched this thing. Check it out online. It's a lot of fun. For the people of Walmart, I'm Velo Hool. For Sterling at Night.
What an honor. As you can imagine, it's a great honor to hear Velo Hool on Sterling on Sunday. You know what? This show is live. Do you think anything else on this station after 5 p.m. on Friday is live? You're wrong. This is it. That's why you and I get a chance to speak to each other, to share our deepest, most profound thoughts. Well, you have deep and profound thoughts. Me? Not really. Before I go on the air for about, two or three hours, I listen to music to get me in the mood. And I always look for music that's the best of it. And I'm looking down there and I see, you know, Skeeter Davis and Leslie Gore and The Animals and Sitting on Stacy and Taylor Swift and Katy Perry. And I'm looking, you know, I need something that's perfect. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? The perfect song is so freaking obvious. So there he is, Sir Paul, in 2006, and it sounds better than when it came out in the 1960s. It sounds better today than when it came out in the 1960s. And I'm looking at the crowd. It was in a live concert. I'm looking at the crowd, and most of the people there are under 30, and they're going crazy. And then I remembered, do you know what the top-selling act was last year, the top-selling band? It was the Beatles, more than Taylor Swift, Ed Sheeran, any of those clowns. The Beatles. $100 million in sales. $100 million in sales last year. And then, in fact, the great puzzle for all these idiots who were obsessed with music discovery. Music discovery. Oh, you know, we have to have new music. Oh, we need new music. Oh, we must serve the music discovery people. We must serve the new music. Ah. 95% of the songs that are streamed on demand are over 30 years old. Most of the songs, like 95% of the songs that are purchased online, digital, you know, digital, that's the future, are 30 and 40 years old. There is no music discovery. It's not the future. That's not the future. And I'm not saying that these old songs are better. I'm not. I'm just saying that the public demands songs that are 30 and 40 and 50 years old. You're going to do better than that? No one's going to do better than that. Nobody can do better than that. Now, I know all about your sex life. I'm aware of your sex life. I feel sorry for you and your family about your sex life, because I know that this week, the most sensual thing that you did was put your hand in the dryer lint filter. And you put your hand in there and went, oh, oh. And you felt the fuzz. You felt the dust in the lint filter, and it had the consistency that was very erotic. It made you feel at one with the universe. I know that was the most erotic and sensual thing that you did this week. And that's why it's very important for you to share the time I'm going to share with Thea Landon. Thea Landon is my very favorite author. Thea Landon's books can be purchased on Amazon, on Kindle. Thea Landon writes the perfect novels for you and me. What does she write about? She writes about lesbians in space. She writes about lesbianism in space. And after a lot of begging, I convinced Thea to please read us a section of her new book, of her new novel. She's going to do that for you and me coming up in just seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Jimmy Failla.
The truth is, it takes balls for a man to get ahead in 2023. And if we're being honest, it takes balls for a woman, too.
888-688-WALT, Sterling on Sunday. Welcome. It's 18 past the hour, live, driving across the country on Route 80, driving across the Luge on I-90, up and down California on I-5 and the 101. Welcome. This is Sterling on Sunday, the only live radio show on at this time. All the other hosts have the good sense to get the weekends off, not me. All the disc jockeys are drunk right now at Ruby Tuesdays. There's nobody live except you, me, and Thea Landon, L-A-N-D-E-N, L-A-N-D-E-N, not L-A-N-D-O-N, which would be a logical mistake to make, and one that her relatives could have made, but they didn't. L-A-N-D-E-N. Thea is my favorite author, because Thea writes about the only subjects I care about. Ready? Space and lesbianism. And I know that that's true for you as well. First question, Thea, that we ask every time you bless us with your presence on Sterling on Sunday, do your relatives know that you are a smutty book author?
Still not yet. I thought about dropping that bomb at Easter dinner, but I was hosting, and honestly, it felt like I didn't even talk to half my relatives that day as I was trying to get food on the table for everyone. So the timing didn't work out for that holiday.
You want to sign up and be a follower of Thea on Twitter for two reasons. One, for some reason, she always wears her gym outfits on Twitter. I guess it's to sell books. And two, they're hysterical. These are the funniest tweets on the internet. Thea Landon's tweets are a hoot. Now, Thea's written a new book, and she's going to read us a... She's going to perform for us a section of her new book, which is called Searching the Skies?
Yes.
Searching the Skies, because I got it in many forms. First, I thought it was Searching Disguise. I got it on my earphones. That's always a very risky way. So it's Searching the Skies by Thea Landon. How many books a year do you write?
Oh, gosh. That varies both with the length of the book. Sometimes I do short stories. Sometimes I do full novels. Sometimes everything in between. And, of course, as we've discussed before, sometimes it depends on what else is going on in my life. I have a separate job. I have two young children. Sometimes life gets crazy, and I can't write as much as I want to.
You have very young children. What happens when the day hits when they realize that Mommy wrote these books?
Well, they're not allowed to read them until they're 18, that's for sure. So I still have 10 years to go. And you know what? We will cross that bridge when we get to it. As I said, I have a whole decade to figure this out.
You realize that Anne Rice wrote three types of books. She wrote the vampire novels. Okay, the kid could read that. She has one son. The kid could read that. And then she wrote bisexual novels, Belinda novels. And she wrote X-rated S&M novels, the Princess series. What was genius about Anne Rice is that she wrote each of those series under a different name, but they were both the initials A.R. So they were positioned next to each other on the bookshelf shelves. And if you knew, you knew. But she figured that the vampire novels would drive people to pick up the other novels, oh, gee, and then they found out it was her. However, when Anne was asked, has your son read the S&M novels? She says, no, I know he's read the vampire novels, and I know he read the Belinda bisexual novels, but I know he has not read the X-rated S&M novels. Now, what do you think, Thea, what do you think the odds are that he never opened those books?
Honestly, pretty low. But I 100% believe that he read them and did not tell his mother about that.
Well, because if Anne Rice was your mother, she could easily put a spell on you. She could
also
easily send the vampires to you. Now, Thea Landon has agreed to share with us a section of Something in the Skies. And I'm grateful to you for this. Take your time, Thea. Please share the section with us now.
Okay, here we go. Again, Searching the Skies, my latest book, which is coming out on May 6th, but you can pre-order it on Amazon now. Someone grabbed Geneva from behind and pulled her out of the hallway. Her initial response would have been to incapacitate her attacker, but before she could react, he grabbed her wrists and pinned her to the wall of the pitch-black storage closet. A familiar set of lips closed in upon hers, and she reciprocated the kiss for a few moments before wriggling away. Ash, she whispered, what the hell are you doing? I couldn't keep my hands off you any longer. He released his grip on her wrists, but slid over her arms, past her shoulders and neck, and cupped the sides of her face in both hands before kissing her again. She relented and let her tongue mingle with his, but their location tempered her excitement with a hint of apprehension. What if we get caught? She murmured against his mouth. I jammed the lock. Did you really? Do you care? She paused to give her response some careful thought. No, she answered. The cramped closet was barely big enough to hold two people, especially one the size of Ash. Darkness prevented Geneva from seeing a single thing around her, but such trivial matters no longer concerned her. Though her feet collided with some misplaced tools, the only thing on her mind was the man yanking her shirt away from her pants. A brief stab of guilt tore through her as she recalled the delicate touch of Marcus removing her clothing. She pushed the thought away and remembered her vow to leave the past behind. As Ash leaned against her and resumed his assault on her mouth, she ran her hands over his chest, relishing the outline of his pecs beneath the scratchy fabric. It was a race against time to avoid being discovered.
Pump up the jam, pump it up while your feet are stumping.
Thea Landon, you're going to win radio awards for this reading and this performance. We have to have you on more, Theo Landon. I, for example, have never won any radio awards because the industry's too smart, but you, they will love. The name of the book is...
Searching the Skies. It is the first book in a five-book series.
Five-book series. Oh, my gosh.
Yes, and they all follow the same format. They're all going to be verbing the skies.
Well, I don't know if the hearts of my listeners can deal with this, but it is fantastic. Searching the Skies. Thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. You can get that on Amazon. Thea Landon, thank you very much. 26 past the hour. It's exciting. While others are screaming at the Democrats, we're going to have you screaming at the walls. Screaming at the walls. I have so much to do tonight. I have way too much to do. And you know why? That's because I over-prepare the show. I over-prepare the show. While other hosts sit there and try to scream at the Democrats for 3 hours and they figure that can carry them, let me assure you, that cannot carry you. Because the result of that will be an audience close to death. You're going to only reach people who can't get up to change the station. That's who listens to most of these shows, but not here. I am so grateful to David Yagdaroff and Chris Olivero and Greg Stocker and Alan First at KMBZ and WPHT in Philadelphia. We got our ratings this week, and it's like this is an actual radio show. These are the ratings that a big morning show would get, except that we're at midnight. And I always said, well, why don't we just do a morning show at midnight? Why can't we do that? And everybody looked at the ceiling and said, you won't fit in. And I said, thank you. They gave me a slogan. I don't fit in. The show doesn't fit in. And I'm so grateful for that, because if you think I want to sound like these other shows, you are out of your mind and you don't want to listen to these other shows. I have more for you tonight. Now, everybody who calls in tonight is going to get a chance to win a very special prize. You ready? We're going to share the two things. One is you get a chance to have lunch with me, because you see, one of the things that I'm good at, and it isn't much, but one of the things I'm good at, I realize is, well, what can I share with the listener? What are the things that I can share with the, and the fact is I'm good at lunch. I am one of the best people you could ever hope to eat lunch with. I know how to rhythm the conversation between the appetizer and the main course and the dessert. I know how to go to lunch. I'm really good at it. In fact, some would say that I made an entire career out of going to lunch, and I'm proud of that. When you call in, you get a chance to guess these three songs. These are three songs that make me, oh, I got it, I see it, that make me, I almost started the song without pushing up the level, but I'm a professional. These three songs make me want to smoke. You'll win a chance to have lunch with me, a prize with no value. Don't give me any of that nonsense, Mr. Lawyer. No value. Plus, you'll win a prize announcement. You'll win a prize announcement. And you get a chance to go to lunch with me. Really, what could be better? All you got to do is know those three songs that make me want to smoke when you and I speak on the phone later tonight. Great to be with you tonight. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by the words of Mayor Frank Rizzo.
Show you what kind of a man you are. You're less than a man. Okay? You're a crumb creep.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Hi, I'm retired NYPD Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired New York City Police Detective, I explain why coming into work dressed in your police uniform can lead to suspicion and a lot of questions. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Unsung heroes of the strip club. One got stabbed. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
So what crazy stuff happened in Florida this week? Just the regular lady had a bunch of drugs shoved up her, you know what. Some kids are getting cavalier with dairy, whatever that means. And there's a new invasive species that mocks Jesus. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
All right, listen. Right now on Facebook, search Walter Sterling, S-T-E-R. You'd be shocked at the people who misspell that. Walter Sterling, S-T-E-R, and you will see the leaky pipe. 3 weeks ago, I started to have the greatest nightmare. No, not about January 6th or about Biden. That's right. Die. Go and die. No, I had a real nightmare. I opened the cellar door, or the basement, as they say on the East Coast, or not at all, as they say on the West Coast. There's no basement cellar anywhere on the West Coast. But in the Midwest and on the East Coast, they have basements and cellars. I opened the door, and I saw the greatest hell imaginable for a renter of a home or the owner of a home. It again drove me to realize I will never, ever own a home. Water on the basement floor. Not a lot, but there is water on the basement floor. 3 weeks later, there is still water on the basement floor. I mop it up. I make sure there are buckets underneath the leak. Where's the leak coming from? It's coming from a hot water pipe that pushes water, hot water, into the heating system of the house. It is a heating system pipe. We discovered this when Samantha, age 11, realized that. I said, why isn't any water coming out of there? She says, no heat, no leak. I went, oh. I thought it was a hot water pipe to the faucets, to the dishwasher, but no, it was a hot water pipe strictly for the heating system. Well, first I put on Flex Seal and some clamps, and then the landlord put on some putty, some strange epoxy, had to mix it together, stunk like hell. That lasted an hour. The Flex Seal actually lasted 3 days, but I've never been able to get it work again, and I bought many different types of Flex Seal. As you know, there are many different types. There's the caulking kind, and the tape, and the putty. Worked for 3 days, and that was it. Compounded by the fact it is a hot water pipe. Hot water. And they say, well, Flex Seal works in hot water. I believe you, but not for me. That means that every day, are you ready? I have to empty a plastic trash can that's 20 gallons twice a day. I empty 40 gallons of water a day from this leaky pipe. I have put a photo of this pipe, actually a video, because we're very digital, very modern, at Walter Sterling Facebook. Walter Sterling Facebook. You have to see the video of this pipe. You gave me terrific suggestions on how to fix this pipe. I go to Home Depot, and I look at your suggestions, and I say, I want one of these rubber clamps that goes around the pipe. Looks like a bigger piece of pipe, except made out of rubber, latex, whatever, to put around the pipe. I get there. And remember, I know nothing about the manly arts of repairing pipes. I know nothing about that. A clerk at Home Depot says, you got that, but this would be easier for you. He looks at me and he knows I'm just horrified at even being at Home Depot. It's overwhelming to me. Home Depot is overwhelming to me. Anytime I go there, I hyperventilate. I get very nervous, and I always want to find the bathroom, which is the single hardest thing to find in at Home Depot other than rakes. He says, no, why don't you just use this? And it's a little tube of an epoxy, and it has two parts to it, and you have to mix it together, preferably in your gloved hands. And I did that, and it didn't work. Then I got Flexmore tape, and I wrapped it around the pipe, and that has not worked. It is leaking. It is still leaking. The pipe is still leaking into a 20-gallon trash can. Twice a day, I have to empty that trash can, which means first I have to empty it about halfway through into a smaller container because I can't drag a 40 gallon trash can. It's way too heavy. But every time I do this, I think I never want to own a home. I don't like renting homes. God meant me to live in an apartment with a doorman and a super. so that I could buzz down and say, hey, we got this leak. Could you take care of this? Remember, I take care of you at Christmas. That's the economy of living in a doorman building. How much did I give you for Christmas determines how quickly the super will come upstairs. I understand that home repair system. Call the super. Make sure you give them a lot of money at Christmas. That's all you have to do in a doorman building. I don't live in a doorman building. I live in a house. 4-bedroom, 3-bath house with a backyard that needs to be mowed. I want to get it mowed for $25. My current wife says, no, I'll do it. She says, no, I'll do it. We have an electric lawnmower. It came with the house. I'll do it. I don't want my wife to mow the lawn. Forgive me. I don't want my wife out there mowing the lawn, and I sure as hell am not going to mow the lawn because I'm used to doorman buildings where if the lawn needs mowing, somebody else does it mystically on Saturday morning at 5:30 a.m. Why they have to use the leaf blower and the lawnmower at 5:30 a.m., I don't know. But that's when all mowing takes place, 5:30 a.m., and then at 5:55 is when the leaf blower goes. Now, let me tell you something. Only middle-class people have leaf blowers. Rich people do not have giant leaf blowers making all that noise. They have gentleman farmers who rake, which is the right way to do it. You're not supposed to use a giant leaf blower. And you know what? They can make the leaf blowers to not make any noise. But if they did that, people wouldn't think it's working. They wouldn't think it's working. It's the same thing with vacuum cleaners. They can make vacuum cleaners that make no noise. Did you know that? You think the Electrolux your mother had in the 50s has not been improved upon? Of course it is. They can make vacuum cleaners making no noise. Turns out nobody wants a vacuum cleaner that makes no noise because then they don't know if it's working. Same thing with Duncan Hines cake mixes. They can make cake mixes with no eggs. In fact, when the cake mixes first came out right after World War II, when everything got better in America, they had no eggs and they did not sell. Because most people did not think they were actually baking. It's like, what, I put in water? I put this in a pan? That's not baking. When Duncan Hines says, well, let's add eggs, all of a sudden it exploded. Because the minute they told people to add eggs, then it was baking. Now, do you see how much you've learned in just 90 seconds? It's unbelievable. It's why we have the giant ratings on WPHT. And on KMBZ-FM in Kansas City, home of Arthur Bryant's Ribs, home of the Plaza at Christmas, and the wackiest thing ever imaginable. In Kansas City, Missouri, they're in the process of finishing a brand new airport. And I'm like, what do you mean a brand new airport? The last time I was at the Kansas City airport, I kept thinking, this is the best airport I have ever seen. Parquet wood floors. But the best thing about it, when you come down the jetway, you can see your luggage. And if you look up, you can see out the windows of the airport and you can see your car in the parking lot. Not like some insane thing like LAX or O'Hare, which is the worst airport in the world, or LaGuardia, which is a joke. No, no, no. At the Kansas City airport, it used to be that you came down the jetway. You looked out, there was your bag, there was your luggage right there. And then if you looked up a little, you could see out of the airport into the parking lot and you could see your car. That was incredible. Beautiful. But that wasn't good enough. Now, the biggest mistake they made with the Kansas City Airport, KMBZ, the biggest mistake they made at the Kansas City Airport is they built it on the wrong side of town. They figured the expansion would go toward it. It went the other way, and it's out in the middle of a field. It is out in the middle of nowhere. The pilots love it. It is the safest airport to land in, but you're in the middle of nowhere. And what did that mean? It mean it was cheap for them to build a new airport right next door, and they're going to demolish the old airport. Because, gee, there were open fields, the Midwest, flat. No reason not to build another airport. Might as well build another airport. So that's what they're doing. On the argument that it'll make connections easier. If you had to connect through Kansas City, apparently that was a bad thing. I'm always happy to connect at any airport because then I can sit there and do nothing for 2 hours. And it's like jury duty. People think you're doing something noble. Coming up in just seconds, our friend from Alaska. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is a 3-hour radio show. You got it? We start at 10 p.m. Eastern. We end at 1 a.m. Eastern. and it's great to be with you. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Zahi Hawass.
Don't talk to me.
All right, welcome to Sterling on Sunday, a live network radio show. Now, I have news. I have big news. And this just came across. You've only got 8 hours left to take advantage of the Sterling on Sunday towel special. This is a six-piece towel set, two washcloths, two face towels, and two beautiful bath towels in an amazing array of colors from red to seafoam. You ready? Six towels normally from MyPillow are $99.98. Normally $99.98. For you, but you only got 8 hours left, they're $29.99. Can you imagine? You get a six-piece quality towel set of 100% USA cotton, 10-year warranty, 90-day money-back guarantee. Oh, my gosh, these are towels that work. The water doesn't sit on top of them because they've been over-treated. These are beautiful towels, two hand towels, two face cloths, and two bath towels for $29.99, 100% USA cotton. Call this number now, 800-844-0876, 800-844-0876, 800-844-0876. Now, I'm asking you to do this because I need to prove to people like Mike Lindell that this works, that late-night radio works. It's not one of those annoying midday shows where they just scream at the Democrats. This is a show when you and I get to share and talk, and it's personal. When you call 800-844-0876, please say my name, Walter, and that's how the price drops from $100 to what? What is it? What did they lower it to? Wait a second. Wait, I got to look at this again because, again, $29.99. Only $29.99 for six quality made-in-the-U.S. towels from the MyPillow company. Six towels, two washcloths, two bath towels, two hand towels in any color you can imagine. You want to take advantage of this. 800-844-0876. In just seconds, our friend from Alaska.
The jam, pump it up while your feet are stumping and the jam is pumping. Look ahead.
All right, Keith Fonz, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. There you are in Alaska. Now, have you heard this horrible story about a DoorDash driver in the United States in the lower 48? Have you heard that?
I haven't.
Well, this guy, I won't go into all the gory details, but this guy saw a woman, decided to attack her, tried to rape her, and then when her friends, her family, tried to stop it, he shot one of them. So let me ask you, Keith Fonz, this was in like California or someplace stupid. Let me ask you this. When you became a DoorDash driver, what sort of security check, what sort of interview did you have?
You don't. You just fill out an online application. They do full DMV background check and a criminal background check. And if you pass all that, then you can start work.
So it's even tighter than being a disc jockey or a talk show host, where we're not vetted at all. We can go on the air, destroy FCC licenses and reputations. No problem. Happy to do it. Or you could be like Larry Kudlow, who was busted for cocaine at Goldman Sachs, lost some of his security clearances with the SEC. He's working all the time. Martha Stewart, thrown in jail. She's working all the time. If I go on the air here and say, weenie, oh, my gosh, it's the worst thing possible. Oh, my gosh. How was your week, Keith?
My week was good until Friday. There's something happened in our local town here in North Pole at Midnight Sun Elementary where two of my kids go to, and my 10-year-old son on Friday was playing outside like a normal kid in the snow, and another kid that's been known to be extremely rough with other kids came up and kicked my son in the back of the head 9 times and then sat on his head. I ended up having to take my son to the hospital. He ended up suffering a concussion. I went to the school. I was there within 5 minutes. I sat down with the principal, She said there's basically nothing they can do, that they know that this kid is known to be rough, and asked me to leave the school when I got mad. So I ended up sitting down, refusing to leave the school until I got answers. I called the police myself. The state troopers showed up at the school, and they told me that they can make a report to Child Protective Services, but because the age of the kid, they can't press charges or do anything about it. And it's got the community in an uproar. Like, there is no reason that a 10-year-old kid should be kicked in the back of the head 9 times, suffer a concussion, but the school and the local police department can't do anything about it?
When you and I were in school, if we had kicked a kid in the head and kicked them 9 times and they fell to the ground, we would have been expelled. There would not have been a conversation. We would not have been suspended. It wouldn't have been a kumbaya. We would have been expelled, wouldn't have we?
In a heartbeat, it wouldn't even been a question. And the school, it happened Friday, like afternoon, and they still have not reached out to me to tell me anything. Like, the school didn't even call me and tell me that this happened.
Keith, we need updates. What's your son's first name?
Keith, same name as me. He's
got
a junior.
We will pray for Keith. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Hi, I'm retired NYPD Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired New York City Police Detective, I explain why coming into work dressed in your police uniform can lead to suspicion and a lot of questions. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Unsung heroes of the strip club. One got stabbed. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
So what crazy stuff happened in Florida this week? Just the regular lady had a bunch of drugs shoved up her, you know what. Some kids are getting cavalier with dairy, whatever that means. And there's a new invasive species that mocks Jesus. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories. Thank you. For our first Florida story, we're going to Fort Myers, and this is pretty ridiculous stuff. Let me just read you the headline to start with. It says, egg assailant targeting cars on McGregor Boulevard leaves neighbors with safety concerns. And I can hear you thinking out loud to yourself, James, is there a TV station in Florida that's really making a report on kids egging cars? Yeah.
Shells are scattered all along McGregor Boulevard. Turns out they're left over from a prankster who's egging people's cars.
NBC2's Hope Salmon spoke with people in this neighborhood in Fort Myers.
Pilot, and bam, 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 you know, something hit my car, but I didn't know what it was. I thought I hit someone.
Jason Parrish is talking about what happened to him early Saturday morning.
I pulled over in near the country club and looked and saw, and it was eggs.
Parrish was relieved that he didn't hit another car or person, but wasn't happy about the scratch marks left on his car. Dan and Kristen live down the road from where this happened. They say no harm, no foul.
I've probably egged houses, toilet papered houses, and done other things. I've never hurt a human or caused any massive damage.
If this happens Friday nights, we might need to have a covert op. We're going to bring them over. Yeah. Put their
might have an
on.
Egg fight.
We'll get some Nerf guns out.
Snyder says she'll keep her eyes peeled.
I mean, people are walking their babies here. What that cost me to, you know, veer my car and hit somebody on the sidewalk? It would be terrible.
No. Do not applaud that. None. Zero. Zero. Stop. You're out of control. I have no love for that report. Number one, the only people that got it right was that couple that was mocking the report to begin with. Oh, yeah, if this keeps up, we're going to have to come out here with some camo and Nerf guns. Now, that couple got it. That lady and her husband, I assume, got it. The rest of them were insane. What if a car swerved and I hit a baby? Oh, yeah, what if a baby got killed? Like, oh, could you be more dramatic? Oh, no, think of the babies. And it's just crazy. It's just crazy that they're reporting on it in the first place because, like, this is Florida, right? I mean, there's the top two presidential challengers are just in your state down the road. You got everything from bath salts to invasive species to Casey Anthony to Tom Brady. And you're worried about kids egging cars. Nobody is worried about kids egging cars. And I don't care how wonderful your community is. There's something you could have reported on in your scarce, very valuable airtime real estate for the news that would have been better spent on this egging story. And no, eggs are not a great concern. They're, you know, I've watched a lot of these. You've seen a lot of these docuseries, whether it's on Netflix or MSNBC or whatever, where they do the profiles of the guys that ended up on death row or the guys that are behind bars for life without parole. And none, zero of their stories start out with, you know, my father abandoned us when I was just a baby, and so I was just raised by the streets, and I fell into the wrong crowd, and we started getting real reckless with dairy, you know, just egging cars, and it went downhill from there. Zero. Zero. It's not in any of the stories. So, you know, as if Florida has a shortage of legit stories on, how crazy is it that these maniacs are reporting on an egging? Yes, you heard that correctly. An egging. Hold my beer. My eggs, whatever.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
What is this? Stay tuned. Part two of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Oh, my gosh. Randy Lane and Daryl Parks are listening to Sterling on Sunday tonight. Those names mean nothing to you. And they mean nothing to people who work in radio. But at one time, they were both very big deals, much as myself. I have a bucket list. However, it is the negative, opposite, other universe bucket list of things not that I want to do, but things that I will never do again in my life. Because as each hour goes through the hourglass, as the sands go through the hourglass, I realize I have limited time to not do the things I do not want to do ever again as long as I live. Perhaps you have a list like this too. I don't care if you do, but perhaps you do. I will never go on a vacation again and share a house with relatives. When I was being brought up, we did it the right way. If relatives were coming to the same vacation location as we were, usually at the Jersey Shore, they rented their own house. They woke up when they wanted. They had dinner and lunch when they wanted. We could visit each other when we wanted, and then we could go home to our house. That, to me, is a vacation. If I can't walk around in my underwear, if I can't say really stupid things to my kids like, I'm an old man. I love to say to my kids, I'm an old man. And then my 11-year-old goes, oh, no, you're a new dad. You're not an old man. You're a new dad. I love to hear that. But other people would not understand any of the things that I just said. They wouldn't get it. I mean, you know, my mother said, well, not everyone's going to think you're funny. And it's true. But when I'm on vacation, I want to be able to say whatever I want to say and not have to worry about anything. And I want to be able to wear what I want to wear, walk around the way I want to walk around, say what I want to say, wake up when I want to say. Therefore, there's nothing more stressful to me than to share a house with another family, especially if it's a relative where everything I do is going on my permanent record and will be reviewed at all major holidays. I have no interest of it. And I made this mistake more than once of sharing a house with relatives. That to me is not a vacation. That is a hellscape. That is like Sunnyvale on Buffy. It's a hellscape. No interest. Thank you. I'm never going to do it again. I refuse to do it again. Even though it gives me hours and hours of quality programming to share with you, I am not going to do it again. Things I refuse to do again. Not going to do it again. Because you see, when I share a house with another family, first of all, even though I'm speaking to you on the radio and therefore very social, I'm not. I'm an introvert. I need massive number of hours to be alone. Not an isolator. That's different. I need to recharge in solitude. My mistress is Solitude. Yes, Miss Solitude, the stripper down the street. However, I need to be alone. I need time alone. I need to be able to do what I want when I want to. That's how I refresh my batteries. Not by talking to you and being pleasant. And not by sitting up straight. And don't put your glass there. And don't put your cup there. And, oh, and the worst thing I could possibly do is don't eat out of my peanut butter jar. I did that once with the relatives. I realized that I wasn't supposed to be eating out of the peanut butter jar. And I did what anybody else would do. I hid it behind a curtain on the floor. And it was found in 8 seconds. 8 seconds. Some 9-year-old found it and said, "What's this? Look at this, Daddy." Da, 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 da. And I was in hell. I was in hell for the next 2 days for eating out of the peanut butter jar, the very sacred, special peanut butter that he had. The sacred, special peanut butter this guy had, which was what? It was Smucker's. That was the special and sacred peanut butter. All of this is terrible for me. I will never share a vacation house with another family ever again. I wasn't raised to do it. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to straighten it out. I don't know how to work their cable. I don't want to discover that, gee, if I charge a movie, that the rental agency is going to come down and arrest us for charging a $14 movie. I'm telling you, all these terrible things. I am never going to share a vacation house again. As I've shared this with you, did something pop into your head about, I'm never going to do that again? I will not do that again. I will not do that again. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-9258. If you want to tell me, great. If not, I don't care. 888-688-9258. When you call, you get a chance to guess the three songs that make me want to smoke. Your prize will be a MyPillow 2.0. The high likelihood that you and I will have lunch together, because I'm very good at lunch, because that is a definite ending. And you'll win a prize announcement. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by the words of William Shatner.
Follower bound to a bridge by a fountain where rocking horse people eat marshmallow pies.
But about William Shatner, have you watched Star Trek Picard? Star Trek Picard is fantastic. It's Star Trek. It is written by a fanboy of Star Trek. This guy was one of the biggest fans ever, and now he's writing Star Trek Picard. And you know what? You ready? It's a Star Trek. It's not like Star Trek Discovery, that first one that CBS came out with on Paramount, which was garbage, absolute garbage. It was like one of the great appeals of Star Trek is one person is in charge of the starship. There's one boss. And that boss is the constant. And how the boss reacts to everything is part of the show. On that Star Trek Discovery, the first one that came out a few years ago, everybody in the cast got to be the captain. And then there's Brave New Worlds. Well, that's pretty good, except we know how that's going to end. We know how that one's going to end. But this is fantastic. The first series of Star Trek Picard that came out 3 years ago, that was murky and strange, and he was in a vineyard and on Earth. We don't want Picard on Earth. This last one brought together the entire cast of Next Generation, and they were great. They were hamming it up. They were having the best time. It was fantastic, and the way they ended it was brilliant. I strongly urge you to watch it, along with the new Mrs. Maisel. I strongly urge you that. But there are things that I will never do again. I have a reverse bucket list. And my reverse bucket list is not things that I want to do before I die, but things that I will never do again until I die. Things I will never do again until I die. They include that I will never go on vacation and share a house with anybody ever again. I made the mistake of, for a few years, under the influence of my current wife, to share a house with her relatives, not mine. I don't know who these people are, but to share a house at the beach with her relatives. Now, what does it mean when you share the house on vacation? It means you can't walk around in your underwear. It means you cannot sing loudly. It means that if stupid songs come on the radio, you can't sing along. You can't say any stupid dad jokes. You sure as heck can't say any questionable jokes. You can't share your political point of view. Do not share your political point of view. But in my case, it was worse. Because you see, about 9 years ago, I went through financial hell. My family and I were evicted from not one apartment in New York City, but two in a short period of time. And I have been blessed all my life with being able to get a job. Not a problem. For some reason, the universe shifted. I couldn't get friggin' arrested. And they wouldn't help. These so-called relatives would not help. They would not say, hey, why don't you stay with us for a couple of days or a couple of weeks till you get on your feet? We'll take care. You know, I had young daughters, three very young daughters. Forget about me. I'd be fine. I could live in a car like most of you. But the fact is that I had three young kids and they wouldn't lift a finger. And my sister is rich. My brother is rich. My brother-in-law is rich. And there I am in a summer house with my brother-in-law and his very nervous, skittish wife, or as my mother would have said, high-strung. She's very high-strung. Yes, well, she's very high-strung and way too afraid to stand up to her husband and say, no, they have to stay with us until he gets it straightened. That's what you do. The greatest gift you and I can be given is a request for help. I asked for help, and I got none. And now I'm sitting there on, quote, vacation with these people. Misery, pure misery. Every second, I just want to lunge over the table and say, what the heck did you do to us? Why didn't you help us? You're rich. You're renting a $10,000 a week house here at the beach, at a crappy beach that I hate. Not the Jersey Shore, the Outer Banks. The reason they're called the Outer Banks is because you're out of your mind if you stay at the Outer Banks and think that's a vacation. To travel 400 days to get to a beach is crazy talk. All right, well, you know, if you had money, you could fly there. You know what would happen if you fly there? You can fly to 3 hours away. There's an airport a three-hour drive away from the Outer Banks. So to me, there's nothing good about this. I was born to like the Jersey Shore. I was born to like San Diego. I was born to like Long Beach, California, Malibu, California. These are normal places where if you get a little bored at the beach, you can practically walk to great amusements, beautiful piers in Santa Monica, great stores, all that. Instead, I'm at the freaking Outer Banks. You know what they have there? A Harris Tweeter supermarket. That's what they got, a Harris Tweeter supermarket. And then I say to these idiots, I say, well, I'll go to the supermarket for you. Let me go do the shopping. And my brother-in-law would not let me take his credit card. He would not let me take his credit card. You know who he let take the credit card? My 17-year-old. My 19-year-old, they could take the credit card. Why? Well, you know, you give it to him, you give him an inch, he'll take a yard. What? I'm getting milk. What am I going to do, go crazy and get 2 gallons of milk rather than one? Okay, so that's no vacation for me. It's on my list, my reverse bucket list. I'm Walter Sterling. It's on my reverse bucket list. Things I will never do again. Perhaps you have a reverse bucket list. It's far better radio if you call. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. I am live and look forward to talking to you. What is your reverse bucket list, things that you will never do again? Because I know how old you are, and you don't have a lot of time. You can't guess at this. You have to be very specific. These are the specific things I will not do again. No roller coaster, thank you. No log plume ride, flume rides. What is it, plume ride or flume ride? Don't those look great until you get on one? Oh my gosh, I got on one once. That was horrible. Fun houses, not fun. Even the bucket rides, the monorail rides, not really so much fun. 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. welcome. This is a great radio show. I am so incredibly happy to be with you because I only have to do it once a week. That is the only way to be with you because you sometimes on the weekend you don't bathe. I mean, I shaved my legs for you so that I could be with you tonight. But look at you. You're sitting there with your shirt out, your blouse out, sitting there in your underwear. But it's okay because it's your house. It's your apartment. Now, imagine if you were sharing that, like Russia, with another family. It would not be any fun. All right, let's you and I talk. My phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT.
Starling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Will Ferrell.
I'm listening to what you're asking me, and if you're not listening to my answers, let's just call it a day.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Hi, I'm retired NYPD Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired New York City Police Detective, I explain why coming into work dressed in your police uniform can lead to suspicion and a lot of questions. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Unsung heroes of the strip club. One got stabbed. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
So what crazy stuff happened in Florida this week? Just the regular lady had a bunch of drugs shoved up her, you know what. Some kids are getting cavalier with dairy, whatever that means. And there's a new invasive species that mocks Jesus. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Welcome to a network radio show that's actually live, and we're not talking about bitcoins and your retirement. Welcome. This is Sterling on Sunday. The reverse bucket list. Things you are never going to do again as long as you live, and in your case, that's coming up pretty soon. Therefore, things you will never do again. I will never share a vacation house with any other family ever again. The non-vacation. Ron in Texas at 888-688-WALT. Ron, do you have a reverse bucket list? Hello, Ron. Ron, hello, Ron. Well, goodbye, Ron. Nancy in St. Louis, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, Walter.
Nancy,
can you hear me?
Yeah, it's very exciting to talk to you, Nancy. Do you have a bucket list, a reverse bucket list of things you are never going to do again?
Yes. I will never travel again with someone I don't know well.
How did that happen?
Take a trip.
Now, Nancy, you're tough. How did it happen that you actually traveled with somebody you don't know?
I traveled with somebody who I didn't know very well. Okay, well, first of all, we'll start here. I'm a blind person. So when I travel, I need to travel with somebody. If I'm not going to visit somebody, then I need to travel with somebody to get me around.
Of course.
So I went to Panama this past November and December, and I wanted to go, but I didn't have anybody to go with, so I asked around. And friends of mine found me somebody, and, you know, I knew who she was, but I didn't know her well at all, and boy,
you're blind. Did she smell bad?
No, she just, I apparently needed more help than she wanted to give, I think is what it came down to.
Well, Nancy, you're absolutely right. You don't want to travel with somebody you don't know. I don't even want to travel with people I do know. Now, Nancy, you can win a prize announcement, and you can win a MyPillow 2.0, and you could possibly have lunch with me if you can identify these three songs that make me want to smoke. I hate this thing. I hate this piece of software.
Everywhere.
All right, Nancy in St. Louis, what are those three songs?
The only one I know is When You're Young and in Love by the Marvelettes.
I'm so grateful that you listened to the show. Sorry you didn't get it, but thank you very much for listening to Sterling on Sunday. Now, I am a big supporter I am proud to say, a big supporter of women-owned businesses. And I also am proud to say that my career is thanks to a man named John Molloy, who wrote the book Dress for Success. And here's Megan Price, who is the co-owner of Soul Sister Boutique. And she's arranged a big event next week for women entrepreneurs. Megan Price, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Thank you for having me.
Megan, tell me the name of this big event.
So it is called the St. Charles Women's Collective and Market. We have 7 female-owned boutiques in the area gathering together to create a unique fashion show, and then over 30 female-owned local small businesses for vendor market for after the fashion show that people can shop at.
How long is this event going to be?
So it is this Sunday, April 30th, from 1 to 4. Doors open at 12:30, where the show, fashion show, starts at 1 o'clock and it'll last about 45 minutes. And then you have the rest of the time to go shopping and explore all the different female-owned businesses. We also will be having a silent auction room. So all of the ticket sales and the silent auction sales go towards Connections to Success, which own house the Dress for Success program here locally in St. Louis.
What is the location of this event?
So it is going to be at the St. Charles Out Foundry on Main Street, St. Charles.
In what city?
St. Charles, Missouri.
St. Charles, Missouri. How far from St. Louis?
It is a good maybe 20, 25 minutes outside of St. Louis.
Yeah,
right over the bridge.
Yeah, but nobody in California knows what you're talking about.
Yes,
Only in the Midwest do people say, oh, it's about 20, 25 minutes right by. It's like, no, that's no drive at all. That's nothing. That's it's right there.
It is.
Why are you doing this? Why is this important?
So me and my other business owner have always wanted to give back to the community, and this is something that has always been at the heart for us, starting to do like a fashion show and not to make a profit off it, but to make a difference in the community and to really show people that women can get together and it really be a community over competition to help our community. So this is something we founded and something that we're going to work on.
So you're going to show clothes that will help women be successful. Is that right? You're going to demonstrate clothes. It's a fashion show of fashion to help women be successful.
Help women be successful, confident, have fun, all different aspects. And then they also get to benefit a local charity at the same time while shopping. I mean, that's 2 wins right there.
What's the name of the charity?
The charity is called Connections to Success.
Now, I know for a fact that dressing for success for a man or woman is key to their success. And I know this because I knew John Molloy, who wrote the book Dress for Success. And he was a frequent guest on my show. And I did everything John said to do. Everything. It all made common sense. I said, how did you figure out what was a successful outfit? He said, I looked at the people sitting in first class on airplanes. I studied what they were wearing. I looked at photos of boards of directors, and I looked at what they were wearing. And then I did research, and I tested all of these theories. This is a well-founded concept about dressing for success. The last thing you want to do when you go in for a job interview or to raise money for your business is dress to express yourself. That's a very bad way to dress. You don't want to go in dressed to express yourself. You want to go in to dress to impress. Now, Megan Price, I have had women business partners, and I have promoted more women to the position of vice president in media than anybody else. And I have noticed a very terrifying fact, that whenever I went to an investment fund to raise money for a business that I was in partnership with a woman, whenever I went into a fund and the decider happened to be a woman and I'm sitting there with a woman, we were not going to get the money. Never would happen. I have never seen more prejudice than women bankers especially, but women in general, when they're having to do business with other women. It's sinister. It is subtle. And then I had a test. I have three daughters, and they like to sell lemonade on the sidewalk in Manhattan. If two young men walked by that lemonade stand, they were going to sell lemonade. If a single guy was going to walk by that lemonade stand, they were going to sell lemonade. If a man and a woman walked by, maybe. If two women walked by, no way in hell were they going to sell lemonade. I saw men in 18-wheelers stop their 18-wheelers on a street in Manhattan to jump out and buy lemonade for my kids. That's been my experience, and it's terrifying to me. Is any of this ringing as a possibility, Megan Price?
It does in certain aspects. You're very true, and that is why we want to show that women can come together. We have several different boutiques that one is really right down the road from me, and we're working together to show community and show that women can work together and create this fun event that is benefiting a local charity.
Megan Price,
we're trying to get that notion gone.
It's more than a notion. Megan Price, I have so much respect for you and so much respect for what you're doing. Do you have a website for this event?
Yes, it is. It's the St. Charles Collective and Market.org.
St. Charles Collective and Market. St. Charles Collective and Market. Can I buy things and support the charity without going there?
Yes. On our website, you can hit donate, and it takes you directly to Connections to Success donate page to donate towards them.
Connections for Success. Tell me the website name once more.
It is St. Charles Collective and Market.org.
Your next career is going to be voicing commercials. You have a great radio voice.
Oh, thanks. I was very nervous, but I'm good. Thanks.
You don't sound nervous. You sound confident, like a business entrepreneur. I am, if I may say it without being condescending, I am proud of you. I am proud of what you're doing. I think it's terrific. Thank you very much for being.
You love it.
I'd love it. I'm going to go to the website. I'm going to look at it. I'm going to make a donation. Thank you for being on Sterling on Sunday. It's a great big network radio show, and your phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. You and I are talking about our reverse bucket list, things you will never do again until you die. You will never do it again. I will never spend a week of vacation in the house with another family, especially none of my relatives. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by the words of Conk.
Join me next time when I go back in time again. Not in an exciting way like in a film. I'm probably just looking at some old pots or something.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Welcome to part two of Florida Story. For our next Florida Story, we're going to Tampa. Well, kind of the area around the Tampa Bay, because there's a new invasive species I got to tell you about. It's a lizard. And the reason why this story caught my eye, you know, Florida has some weird invasive species going on with the pythons and iguanas and whatnot. But this one, the headline says, invasive Jesus Christ lizard could be harmful to people. And, you know, the threaten the fragile Florida environment. You know, you people just spout this stuff off. Like I'm supposed to be scared of the Jesus Christ lizard or the flora and fauna of Florida can't handle itself from the Jesus Christ lizard. And it's called the Jesus Christ lizard because this thing can walk on water, albeit kind of briefly. It kind of skates real lightly across the water. And so they liken it to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which I'm not saying is blasphemous. It feels a bit reductive.
Ryan, what if we did that for someone else? What if we called it the Moses lizard? Would that be appreciated well in Jewish circles? So good luck to the Jesus Christ lizard. You're probably going to be the new favorite food of one of these python hybrids that exists only in Florida, or some other invasive species, or a crocodile or an alligator. I mean, it's not so easy just because it came from some place and doesn't have any natural predators. Florida will adapt, because if I've learned anything from nature, especially in Florida, it is all adapted specifically to kill you. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Today's third installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
We have two more Florida stories coming up for you, because this is a three-hour show. Now, if you're being cheated and you're not getting all 3 hours, demand answers. Write to this station and demand answers. Demand answers. But the big radio stations, the real radio stations, are more than happy to air 3 hours of Sterling on Sunday. And that's how they get the big ratings. WPHT, big ratings. KMBZ-FM, big ratings. That's what we do. Your phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. You and I are sharing the horror of dying. Yes, but in the right way. Because, you see, everybody talks about, I have a bucket list. I'm going to go to the Grand Canyon, and I'm going to go to the pyramids before I die. But that isn't realistic, because you and I can't afford to go to the pyramids. You and I have normal jobs, and we can't afford it. But we can have a reverse bucket list. We can have a bucket list of things that we will never do again. Roller coasters, sure. But in my case, I will never share a house with anybody else again on vacation. Because the minute I share a house with another family, or even a dog, it's no longer a vacation. I have to sit up straight, mind my manners, mind what I say, don't eat peanut butter out of the jar, make sure that I don't leave bacon grease anywhere near anybody, be aware of my smells and aromas of things that I might buy to clean with, can't have anything that actually smells. It's a horror for me. Every second is more and more stressful, because there are more and more eyes on me, more and more people watching my behavior. I will never go on vacation again and share a house with another family. I can't think of anything worse. And I don't get used to it. Well, if you do it a few times, you get used to it. No, it gets worse. Every time I go, it gets worse. I'm never doing it again. Your reverse bucket list. Things you will never do again. Things you've experienced and like, oh my gosh, what was I thinking? My number, 888-688-WALT. I have a vanity phone number, 888-688-9258. This show is endorsed by Randy Lane, Daryl Park, and Peter Bolger, names that will never mean anything to you. Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Hi, I'm retired NYPD Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired New York City Police Detective, I explain why coming into work dressed in your police uniform can lead to suspicion and a lot of questions. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Unsung heroes of the strip club. One got stabbed. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
So what crazy stuff happened in Florida this week? Just the regular lady had a bunch of drugs shoved up her, you know what. Some kids are getting cavalier with dairy, whatever that means. And there's a new invasive species that mocks Jesus. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories. Thank you.
For our next Florida story, we're going to Bunnell, Florida. Bunnell has been on the show before. This time, it's this is a good one. A couple gets pulled over, a young couple. They look like they could be in their 30s, or maybe they just are 20s and did a lot of drugs. So we'll leave it right there. It's exactly what you think if you see the mugshots. But Florida deputies pulled this couple over, and they were suspicious because these people had already had some sort of paperwork done with the authorities in some capacity before. And so since you guys are already on our list, you want to go ahead and tell us if you got anything in the car? And they said no, and they're like, okay, step out the car. So they find some paraphernalia, and they're like, is there anything else we need to know about? And the girl in this couple, in this Florida couple, says, yes, I actually have some in my body cavity. And it was two guys that pulled them over, so they had to request a female deputy to come show up and on the side of the road help her retrieve the, it was a baggie of meth from her body cavity. And I don't know whether or not to be impressed, because it says it was 10.8 grams of methamphetamines in a baggie. And since I have no idea what a gram is, I don't know the metric system. Well, what is that? Is that a pack of Sweet and Low? Is that like a coffee pod? Is that like one of those bean bags you play cornhole with? I don't know. 10.8 gram, whatever that is. That's what was shoved up. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Today's fourth installment of Florida Stories is still coming up. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and catch past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Where is Bob? I know we're hot. Where's Bob? Can you see the sheet? Yeah, well, I'm trying to talk, run audio files, look at the VU meter, get a interview ready, and now I'm going to talk to Bob in Missouri. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hello, Bob.
Hi, how are you?
Well, Bob, I'm very excited to be running my own board. Yes, how are you?
I'm good. You've pretty well convinced me that one of my negative bucket list things is to never go to Florida again. It just sounds too scary and strange, and they ban books there. But
stop. Yeah. You don't read books. So what do you care if they ban books? So what? And they don't.
Well, they.
And they don't.
Well, yeah,
and
they,
what are you, they you
do.
Watching MSNBC? They don't ban books in Florida. They don't read books in Florida. This is a whole different thing. They don't read books in Florida. They read Goodnight Moon. That's the last book they read in Florida.
They banned Mark Twain books. How do you ban Mark Twain books?
Like, prove it.
You know,
I don't believe for one second that they banned a Mark Twain book. Clarence Clemens.
Okay.
I don't.
Samuel Clemens.
Yeah, him. Him, his brother, Samuel, none of them.
Okay, all right. So the thing I'll never do again is I'll never be the executor of an estate. People who were family, who got along, who liked each other, loved each other. When parents pass away.
Hello? Wow, that's too bad, because that was actually a good call. I mean, he was coherent. He sounded as though he was living in this century. I really didn't know how to deal with someone who was that current. It's very scary. No, they don't ban books in Florida. This is Sterling on Sunday, and you and I are talking about the reverse bucket list. Now, he's not going to go to Florida again. I'm never going to spend a week in a house with any relatives for vacation. It's bad enough if I have to do a Christmas party with my relatives where I will be reviewed. What did you say to my mother? 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 That's a great form of entertainment, isn't it? Isn't it great when you get to go to a relative's Christmas party, holiday party, Thanksgiving, and then you're reviewed for the next 2 months? What did you say? What did you say to Aunt Martha? You annoyed Aunt Martha. You upset my mother. It's never the father. You've never upset her father. It's only her mother who's a minefield, a social minefield. Now, then if I'm stuck in the house with these people for a week, oh, my God. And then throw in the fact that, gee, maybe I'll ask one of my relatives for money and I'll get some long speech about how I don't need cats. That's my favorite. Somehow or another, if I didn't have a cat, I'd be rich. There's some thinking. There's some thinking. There's my money. There's my buddy Dave Scott. Hello, Dave.
How you doing, my friend? Good to have you back here for a second week.
You're going to be on every week as long as you're very entertaining and you stay Canadian. Will you always be Canadian?
Well, that all depends if you make me vote for Justin Trudeau or not again.
The great thing about being in America, we only know two other foreign leaders. We only know Justin Trudeau because of his father. We don't know any of the prime ministers between the father and the son. None of them. Not one American could name one of them. Perfect. And we know King Charles. That's it. We don't know the prime minister of Australia. We don't know the president of Germany. We don't know anything else. Yet the entire world seems to know who our leaders are. Isn't that amazing?
Well, it's a beautiful thing. You know, that's what why it's fun being a neighbor to you guys.
Well, your neighbors until we try to get into your country. I have gone to France, Italy, Spain. And the minute I show up at those borders, it's come on in. No, we don't need to see your passport. You go to Ireland, they don't need to see a passport from an American. It's the 51st state. Just come on in, no problem. I go to Canada, and it goes like this. Where are you staying? Who are you seeing? What's in that bag? I'm like, hi, we're Americans. We build your cars. You're questioning where I'm staying. You should just say, thank you, sir, for the Yankee dollar.
Well, you see, that's why we post revenge by sending down Justin Bieber, Celine Dion, Drake, and all of these wonderful, wonderful musicians that sound like Barbara Streisand is getting shaved. And that's why we always try and send you our worst.
Dave's got a great broadcaster. There are two that you left out that are much worse than Justin Bieber. Justin Bieber's fine. Left out two.
Okay.
Anne Murray and Alanis
yes.
Morissette. And they have the same initials. Anne Murray and Alanis Morissette. Now, coming up
very
in just seconds, Dave is going to take us to the other world, the other dimension, the dimension of Sasquatch, and his personal experiences with UFOs, which I find both that I respect and fascinating. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Liza Schlesinger.
Gentlemen, let's say you get a girl to go home with you, all right? Let's say you get a girl to go back to your apartment by the grace of God.
Hey, little John, I think it's fun, too. We should do it again sometime. You mean another sting operation? Or I could teach you how to shoot? Oh, I know how to shoot.
You don't know how to shoot.
I want you, hey, little John.
Oh, my God. That is my favorite show ever, For the People. It had the best lesbian scenes on broadcast television, For the People. The best lesbian scenes in broadcast television. Where the heck's that? Yeah, this.
I want you, Caitlin John. I think it's fun, too. We should do it again sometime.
You mean another sting operation?
Or I could teach you how to shoot? Oh, I know how to shoot.
Dave Scott, who claims to be a Canadian. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Dave Scott has an extraordinary life because he has had personal encounters with UFOs. And he also does a radio show in Canada, therefore no threat to us, about the other world, the other universe, the doors to the other universe. Dave, do you have news to share with us this week?
Well, there's always news going on in the UFO world. This past week we saw in Washington, D.C., more UFO talk within the congressional hearings where Senator Kirsten Gillibrand met with the head of the UFO program, Aero Director Sean Kirkpatrick, and Kirkpatrick basically coming out saying there's no such thing as UFOs. The aliens aren't here, so we don't need to worry, America. We're just looking for drones, balloons, and anything from China, Russia hanging on out in our orbit. So he really kicked us to the teeth once again, saying the aliens aren't arriving just yet.
Why are they so desperate to deny the obvious?
That is a very loaded question, Walt. And you know, that is something that we've been trying to figure out. Personally, I think it's because the United States government has so many hidden secrets from Roswell on forward, and they've probably taken some of that technology and been able to use it today, that they don't want the adversaries to find out what they actually have. And if they open up to the American public saying, hey, we've got aliens here, we've got alien bodies, we've been able to restore some of their craft and learn from their technologies, I think that opens up a whole can of worms that many people aren't willing to go to yet.
When I was a kid, my father worked at Bell Telephone Laboratories, and he was in charge of capital acquisitions, land, buildings. He was in charge of that. And he had top U.S. security clearance, top whatever that the highest rank is. He had that clearance. And even he said it made no sense. He didn't need it. But the only business trips he made was to Roswell. I'll never forget, because it was very traumatic for a business trip when your daddy goes away for a couple of days and your mother's pacing. He went to Roswell. And I said, well, later on, I said to him, what were you doing in Roswell? He said, well, what they told me I was doing made no sense because I was there to buy up as much land as I could. And they were going to use it to test, ready for this? The aging of copper wire, telephone wire, the aging. They wanted to test the aging of copper wire in the desert and the heat. And he said, but it was unnecessary because Bell Labs in Murray Hill, New Jersey, had a room and had a furnace that created the hottest heat, man-made heat, in the world. They had a furnace that was the hottest furnace in the world, and they could test it there. He said, what they told me. And so I said to him a couple years later, I said, I have follow-up questions on this, Dad. What do you think was going on? You know, what do you think? And he told me some ideas, but he wasn't sure. But I saw Bell Labs in the 60s and 70s. Once a year, the kids could go through. And, gee, what did I see? I saw night vision. I saw telephones with televisions. I saw all sorts of interesting things being made. And it was all this stuff that became to the world 50, 60 years later. But here's the thing. So I asked my dad about this, and he told me it didn't make any sense. I had top security clearance. So the next day, I had a follow-up question for him. I said to him, Dad, what about this? And he looked at me, said, what are you talking about? I said, remember yesterday when you told me about this Roswell stuff? I never told you about that. I don't know what you're talking about. And it had been wiped from his mind, Dave Scott. It had been wiped Weird. From his mind. You know, how scary is that? He worked for 17 years. He wrote the business plan for Telstar. He wrote the business plan for the Telstar satellite. And Murray Hill in the 50s and 60s was the spookiest place on Earth. It's where they invented transistors. Where'd they get that idea? And lasers. They invented lasers there. Where'd they get that idea? Crazy stuff. So, Dave, today, I don't understand why there's still this endless cover-up. And what you just said makes a lot of sense, that it would reveal all of the secrets that we had. What other news came out this week, Dave Scott?
Well, the other news that kind of came out this week was strictly UFO, and it really was about more sightings over battlefields, you know, over in Russia and the Ukraine especially, and there were sightings over in other hot, tense areas. And my feeling on that is we're not seeing UFOs, man. We are seeing some very cool technology that might come from your side of the border that is actually spying on a lot of these areas, you know, that maybe look like UFOs because people have never seen them before. But the Russians and the Ukrainians tend to believe that there are UFOs over the battlefield. We have seen reports of UFOs coming from the Foo Fighters in World War I and World War II through Korea to UFOs over Vietnam and the Gulf War. It's very interesting to see whether or not these alien spacecraft actually do have an interest in our conflicts, or whether or not this is American technology, which I believe it is, that is actually spying during the battlefields to see what's going on.
Do you agree with Stephen Hawking when he said, if there is alien life, you better pray they don't come here because it's not going to turn out well?
Well, I think the only way it does not turn out well is if we do something stupid first. We are a society around the world of shoot first, ask questions second. And we have to realize if these extraterrestrials are coming here, like many people believe and I believe, okay, and they have the technology to already get here, I'm pretty sure they're not scared of our latest and greatest weapons. I'm pretty sure that they probably have something bigger, better, and more dastardly to do that. And I also believe that they probably wouldn't wait. There's talk that UFOs have been coming here since Atlantis was around. And if they've been coming here that long, guess what? They're not going to wait for us to be technologically advanced before they actually come take us over. Okay, they're going to come here and they're going to take us over when our best weapons were a spear and a bow and arrow.
All right, Dave Scott, what is the name of your podcast?
Spaced Out Radio is what we're called.
Spaced Out Radio. And your website?
SpacedOutRadio.com, and we're Spaced Out Radio on all social media platforms.
I love your website. I can't wait to listen to your podcast. By the way, my theory, and you know, it's as good as anyone else's theory about the aliens and defending themselves and attacking us. What if they knew how to fly? What if they know how to go interdimensionally? What if they can travel to time, but it never occurred to them to create a weapon? Maybe they have no weapons.
Maybe they don't. Maybe they do. The question is, how much, before we even get to that, the big question is, what does the American government actually know about this? What are they actually holding from us that they don't want to tell the secrets of what they know to the world? Why would that be so encapsulating? Because this is literally a subject that's going to affect everybody who lives in concrete jungles like where you are or in New York or Europe or Japan or wherever, to the forests of Africa and Brazil. This is going to affect every single person on this planet. And
Dave
why
Scott,
they're holding on to the secret, I don't know.
I don't know either. Dave Scott, Spaced Out Radio, thank you so much for being on Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of George Santos.
No, I don't consider the things I've said to be lies. They're what my great-grandfather, Winston Churchill.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Hi, I'm retired NYPD Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired New York City Police Detective, I explain why coming into work dressed in your police uniform can lead to suspicion and a lot of questions. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Unsung heroes of the strip club. One got stabbed. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
So what crazy stuff happened in Florida this week? Just the regular lady had a bunch of drugs shoved up her, you know what. Some kids are getting cavalier with dairy, whatever that means. And there's a new invasive species that mocks Jesus. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories. Thank you. For our next Florida story, we're going to Hollywood, Florida. And in today we have a man forcibly robbing elderly victims and fleeing on a scooter. And if that sounds like I'm making it up, that's literally the headline. This isn't my paraphrasing of a story. Man accused of forcibly robbing elderly victims and fleeing on a scooter. And it's exactly what it sounds like. The reason I'm bringing this up is because it wasn't that long ago. There was another guy who had gotten in a fight at the produce section and fled on a scooter. And so what I am noticing here is you pair that with the previous scooter story from earlier this year, a guy on a scooter had a bad experience with a drawbridge. I'll leave it at that. That's three scooter stories. Crime in Florida is even happening in the scooter demographic. And I'm not saying in the great Venn diagram of life, you know, scooter drivers and hardened criminals. I'm not saying there's no overlap. I'm just saying there's very little overlap, and I'm shocked. I mean, statistically speaking, this is another demonstration of how spectacular
Florida is for breaking these weird trends. I mean, just the astronomical odds to have the community that is into scooters also be into robbing little old elderly ladies. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
This concludes today's episodes of Florida Stories. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Maggie lives in an apartment building. She likes to spend time chilling on the roof. Maggie was on the roof when she realized her keys were back in the apartment. Oh, boy. You know that feeling? No keys, locked door, and no one can hear your cry for help. Well, instead of calling emergency services, she did what any of us would do.
Oh, I ordered Uber Eats.
Uber Eats delivers everywhere, I guess. But to a roof? Well, that's got to be a new one. And she gave them specific instructions.
You have to just buzz every apartment until someone lets you in, and then come up to the roof and let me out.
Or in, since she's already outside, on the roof. The internet has tons of strange delivery stories, like a guy that had instructions to roar like a T-Rex when knocking on the door, or the pizza delivery guy during an ice storm when the sidewalk was so slippery he had to be pulled to the door with a rope. Everything worked out for Maggie. She got her burrito.
Thank you.
And hopefully she won't forget her keys and phone next time. Oh, a person can get pretty hungry up there on the roof. Alan First, News 98.1, KMBZ.
Alan First programs our affiliate in Kansas City, but he's also a brilliant man, and he does that feature in Morning Drive in Kansas City on KMBZ-FM, and I'm so grateful for him because I don't know why he's there. The truth is, I don't know why he's there. I look at his resume, and my resume, as you can imagine, is unbelievably impressive. But his is like international. He spent 3 years in Australia programming big radio stations in Australia. And you know what's amazing about that? In Australia, there are no gyms. There are no health clubs because every one of them looks like Elle McPherson. Every person who lives in Australia is gorgeous and skinny, and they swim. They're born swimming. Then they go to Bondi Beach and take off their tops. It's unbelievable. But I am grateful to Alan First. And we got giant ratings on KMBZ, like actual radio show ratings. And I'm very, very privileged for that. So Alan does a feature every morning on KMBZ. And no one's going to tell him that they're not going to run it. He's the boss. Well written, well produced, as you just heard. It's a real privilege to be on that radio station. Now, something very important. Let's talk about whether or not Taylor Swift is a lesbian or bisexual.
In pop music, this is something that happens all the time with heterosexual couples, and no one ever questions it. Like, Taylor Swift has definitely encouraged this kind of speculation in the past, and even recently with the All Too Well music video was an example of that. And, you know, it's made certain songs very famous. Like, Driver's License by Olivia Rodrigo may have not become as viral as it did had it not been surrounded by rumors about a love triangle with multiple famous people. So I do feel like this is important to include, even though it is definitely a conspiracy, and that's something to keep in mind as we talk about it.
Things first really picked up for gay Taylor rumors in 2014 with who historians will say were gal pals, Taylor Swift and Karlie Kloss. After meeting at the Victoria's Secret fashion show,
and they're all wearing these robes, by the way.
Yeah.
It's like an actual fantasy.
The two began a close friendship, inseparable, and they were pictured everywhere together, with Karlie Kloss even moving in with Taylor Swift in her New York City apartment.
And they were roommates.
God, they were roommates.
The story of them becoming roommates would actually be silenced by Taylor Swift's PR team. A Vogue bestie photo shoot and video, a road trip, and getting caught kissing at a 1975 concert. Just bestie things, right? Okay, Kissgate. Yes, everything needs to have gate at the end of it for dramatic purposes. Now, there are multiple angles from this concert, some images that really look like it, other videos that make it look like they're not kissing at all, so... Of course, Taylor's PR team said they weren't kissing. Stop trying to accuse her of dating her friends, okay? But here's the thing. Before Taylor Swift's PR team shut it down, the night of, Taylor liked these posts.
She liked the posts about her and Karlie Kloss. The weird thing is... Sorry. I don't know why I don't hit the cough button, but I'm not a professional. The thing about Carly Kloss and Taylor Swift, it said that Carly moved into Taylor's apartment in New York City. Well, for starters, it's no apartment. It was a triplex in Tribeca. A triplex. Millions and millions of dollar triplex, number one. But more importantly, within walking distance, Carly Kloss had a townhouse in Greenwich Village, within walking distance of Taylor Swift's house. And then to defend the situation, she said to everybody, well, I had my own room at Taylor's place. I had my own room. I had my own room. Well, that's what my girlfriend would say when we were both 20 and her parents would come over to visit my apartment. This is where I sleep. And she'd point to the sofa in the living room. Never happened. But that's what she told her parents. And now Taylor's parents is the American public, and there's her girlfriend saying, I had my own room at Taylor's house. She didn't need her own room. She had her own townhouse within walking distance. Nothing wrong with Taylor and Carly Kloss if they were lovers, because it fuels all of our fantasies about everything. I wish they'd give it up. Why wouldn't they admit it? Sounds good to me. David's Bridal is going out of business. David's Bridal going out of business.
I think that a lot of us in the wedding planning community, I just know from here in Michigan, we're all kind of feeling that same little bit of lull here.
David's Bridal going out of business. Bed Bath & Beyond going out of business. The place where you got the wedding gifts, that's going out of business. The challenge is that brides today don't want to spend $10,000 on a dress they're going to wear once. They finally came to their senses after 400 years. Wait a minute, I'm only going to wear this dress once. I'll pass it on to my daughter. What if I don't have a daughter? Let me tell you, gentlemen, we're coming up on wedding season. June wedding month, May wedding month for those of you with less money, April wedding month for those of you with very much less money. Here's the deal. I can pass along this advice to you if you're not married yet, young man. If you're not yet married yet, here's my advice. It's golden advice. If you don't take this advice, it's your own darn fault. When you were 9 years old, did you fantasize about your wedding? Guys, did you fantasize about your wedding when you were 9 years old? No. She did. She fantasized about her wedding from the first time she heard about weddings. Her mother, her parents, send out the wedding invitation. It's her wedding. It's not your wedding. Your parents have to be invited to your wedding. If you're the groom, your parents have to be invited to your wedding. It's her wedding. And that means this. Whatever she has fantasized since she was nine, that's what you're going to do. You have no opinion. I love it when brides say, oh, Johnny the boy, he's going to pick the napkins. He has some opinions about where this should be, what my dress should look like. No, let me tell you, buddy, you have no opinion. And whatever opinion you have, it's going to be wrong. And if it's wrong and it actually happens, you're going to hear about it the rest of your life. The rest of your life. It is her wedding, number one. Number two, yes, register for gifts. Two pieces of advice. One, register for things you could never afford or would never buy yourself. Do not register for salt and pepper shakers for your poor friends. Oh, we have to let our poor friends be able to afford something. No, you don't. It's your wedding. They can go find cheap stores and buy something for you. They're not obligated to buy what's in your registry. Let them buy the cheap stuff. You register for the most expensive things you can find. And here's the shocker. You will get them. Because you have friends and relatives who are going to look for the most expensive things and want to give you the most expensive things. Do not deny them their pleasure. Don't deny them their pleasure. Register for the most expensive things. And register for silver. You may think it's corny, it's not millennial, it's out of date. Register for silver because it's the only thing you're going to be able to melt down, cash out, when you get the divorce. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of iCarly.
Guys, always tell girls to calm down, and it never works. It just gets us all whipped up. You see me all whipped up now? It's because you told me to calm down.
Those giant men outside and inside a strip club are primarily known as the unsung heroes of the exotic dancing world. These guys make sure that fellas don't get too fresh with the ladies. They police the champagne room. And they make sure no bad people, not too bad of people, come in through that front door of the strip club. Case in point, Cocoa Beach, Florida. Dancer Royale. North Orlando Avenue is known as one of the twerkiest strip clubs in all of Florida. Bouncer stops a guy from coming in. He pulls out a knife and stabs the bouncer. Police call. Police attack. Theron Davis booked. He also attacked the emergency medical services, the EMS people. These are another group of wonderful first responders. Don't get enough love. Theron Davis, he slashed the bouncer's chest and neck. He spat in the face of an arresting officer. The officers had to use pepper spray and a stun gun to gain control of them. Theron Davis, he wanted to see some twerking babes, and nothing was going to get in his way. He was arrested for attempted murder, criminal mischief. He was just being mischievous and resisting an officer with violence and battery on a first responder. Unfortunately, he won't be in the champagne room with me. For Strippers on the Loose, this is Velo Hool for Sterling at Night.
All right. Very exciting. Thank you.
Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hey, you and I should stay in touch at all times. I have an email. It's WalterMSterling@gmail. WalterMSterling@gmail. Every email I get gets answered one way or the other. No staff, just me. Send it to me, and I will answer your request. Then I have a powerful and very important Facebook page. Yes, Walter Sterling at Facebook. It's Walter Sterling at Facebook. And you need to go there now to see the leaky pipe. For 3 weeks, I've had a leaky pipe, which is right behind me in the laundry room. I'm on the air from the laundry room. Not like morning zoos who go, well, can you believe we're in the laundry room? I can't wait till COVID's over. We go back to the studio. No, I've always been in the laundry room. I'm really good at broadcasting with you from the laundry room. And I have a leaky pipe. I have done everything possible to fix this pipe. Tape, Flex Seal, another kind of Flex Seal, putty, secret putty. Oh, my gosh. I've made a video of this. You have to see this pipe. And you've given me great ideas on how to shut up the pipe. No luck so far. Walter Sterling Facebook page. You can see the pipe for yourself. I have shot a stunning, incredible Spielberg-quality video that you'll be able to see at Walter Sterling, the Facebook page. And we have a website, Walter Sterling Show. Walter Sterling Show. One of the things that amazes me is whenever I watch a home improvement show, which only is in doctor's offices, have you noticed that the only time you actually see home improvement shows is in the doctor's office? Whenever I'm there, they always seem to be doing the same thing.
Double, triple check the plans. It was not a load-bearing wall. It set it in there. Then we also, like I said, got in the ceiling, checked up in there, and it's not a load-bearing wall. You'll see us after we get the drywall removed.
They always turn down a wall. They always tear down a wall, always one of the walls of the kitchen. Every episode of every home improvement, home rehab show, Curb Enthusiasm, Curb Appeal, every one of those shows, they're tearing down a wall. And you and I have to explore this next week. The greatest gift you and I can receive is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.